share the same kind of honesty, speak the truth in love, as St. Paul said, speak the truth in love. If we can't speak the truth in love, don't follow this teaching of the world, because it can be hurtful and sharp. If you do not love the person, of course, there's no way you can ease the pain of giving them perhaps a truth that must be learned and must be taught. I think I would give you on this subject all day, but the main thing about family is this, that this is the arena in which we learn how to be Christians. Aside from learning how to play with matches, and not to have their manners at the table, and not to hit your little sister, or beat up your big brother, you're learning how to be patient, how to be understanding, how to be kind, how to be compassionate. And for some strange reason, we're much more tolerant of our own brothers and sisters than we are of people outside, because we know the world a little better, and because we've seen them cry, and we've seen them weep, and we've seen them frustrated, and we've seen them with all the pain, sorrow, loneliness that they will find one way or another through life. And that is when the family begins to really become a family. It's not perfect. There may be imperfectness. But this place where healing is best done. And so we should be very careful with each other in the family. And we should be very, very cautious about judging. Because, as you know, families are places where very strong judgments are made, and very often unfair ones. Especially sometimes when parents expect their children to live up to the high ideals and the level of achievement that they themselves can't even obtain. And this can be a difficulty. And also for teenagers. Teenagers are halfway up the ladder of life, they're going, trying to learn what it means to be an individual and trying to overcome that kind of solace they felt when they were just kids and acting like children. Patience for them, but also they must be patient and very patient for the old. And I'm going to end this little essay that I want to cover on all people since I am. Recently, I've become the status of an authority on what it is to be old. I think I would like to end with the old people. Someday, all of you are going to be old. So, you should learn that very early. If your mother's old, grandma, grandpa are really giving you a hard time, what you should say to yourself is, "Well, I can't stand what she's discovering. He's telling me what you can do, really." Say this, someday there will be me, and I hope I have a grandchild who cares and forgives and understands. There are great strengths in being old, you know. You actually don't have to do all those terrible jobs you have to do when you were young. Nobody expects you to do large amounts of things. They also don't expect you to know anything. Apparently, as you get older, people think that you're really maybe you don't fit in the scheme of things. Okay. But here's my favorite old folk story, okay? And we'll let you go. Samuel Bernstein was a very good friend of the family. His whole family was. His son became a rabbi, and he was just a Brooklyn Jew. And he used to sell chestnuts, you know, chestnuts on the street. And that's how he managed to support his family. And he told me one time we were talking about old people. And he looked at me and he says, "I'm not going to tell you a very ancient Jewish story about old people. And you're never to forget it, because I was about 13 or 14 at the time, and I never did." And here's how the story goes. Morris Cantor and his wife were very well Anyhow, they discovered they had a great plan. Over the garage where they watched their cars, they fixed up on top of the garage a very nice little place, just for Grandpa, so he could watch television up there and be at home up there. But most of all, he could eat up there, because whenever they had guests, they couldn't have Grandpa hiding in the kitchen. So they put him up there, and the little boy, every supper, every evening meal, they would fill this little salad bowl with Grandpa's supper, and they'd say to the little boy, "Why don't you go now?" Grandpa said he'd go up, and he loved it with Grandpa, because Grandpa had all these great stories, and he was really funny to listen to. And so the little boy and Grandpa would be up there for some time. And then when Grandpa finished his meal, the little boy would come back. Oh, this was an early operation. And the little boy loved it. So one day it was Mr. Morris's birthday, and all his very rich friends were going to come and celebrate his birthday. So they asked Grandpa to go up to his room in the room, and the little boy came down and invited the guests. Oh, it was a great party, and everybody was dressed to the nines and feeling very fresh and intelligent. Witty and drinking their wine. And then they opened the birthday presents, and they were lavish birthday presents, beautiful birthday presents, and everybody was feeling it. Until the little boy, he said, "Here's my present, Daddy." And the son said, "Well, you don't have to give me anything. You're my son." He said, "No, I've been waiting. I want to give you this." Well, opened the package, and in it is a little wooden bowl.
Mm-hmm.